Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Canadian Politics is Boring.
Every time you do the intro, it's always so melancholic and just kind of
just my persona.
Yeah, but just come on, man. Just for our audience, just give a little bit of oomph. Just like picture someone's tickling your balls while you do this. Okay, let's try it again.
You want me to make it more North American?
Yeah, baby. Let's go on a radio morning show. It's 7 in the morning.
Hi, everyone. I'm Reese Waters, and with me is Jesse Harley. This is Drive Time, where we talk about Canadian politics while you drive home in traffic and try not to hate your life. So, Jesse.
Oh, the weather's coming up soon. It's raining and it's gross, and you're going to hate your life for the next 18 hours. Do you have kids at home? Good. Go to work and ignore them. Coming up next, this is 17 minutes of Alanis Morissette straight here on the Fox 32.6 FM.
If you want to win $50 and a gift card for Swiss Chalet, then call 888-888-721-5679-78321. And you can answer our three questions. If you can answer the three killer questions, you get the top prize. If you don't, then...
Someone is sent to your house to beat you up and put you in a potato sack and throw you off the bridge.
Jesse, did you see something in the news recently that we should pass shock jock style comment on?
That we should what?
Shock jock commentary.
I don't know. I don't really read the news.
You don't watch the news. There we go. See, this is why we couldn't do this style of show.
Oh, yeah, right.
that Joe Biden, did you see his speech the other day? Something like that.
No, what? Yeah.
This is Canadian Politics is Boring. It is not drive time radio. It is a podcast, and you're listening to it.
Thank you for that clarification. Oh, yeah, that's for our audience. Okay. Anyone who's new? Yeah, hi. My name is Jesse. This is Reese.
Hi.
What's up?
I've got a.
Are we going to do a quick? Is this the STD zone? Are we?
No. I mean, I think this is a very weird start to this episode. But I think we should. I think we should postpone entering the STD zone because sure. we just go straight to a speak pipe we had.
Sure. Speak pipe, for those of you who are new, is like a little voicemail. You can send it to us anonymously, or you can leave your name if you want to. And it's just a quick way to say hi.
And this ton of enthusiasm from this listener. I'll just play it. Seems right. Really nice.
I'm very excited.
Hello, Reese and Jesse. My name's Justin, and I'm from Whitehorse. And I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years. And I've got to say, I love listening to your show. Oh. Now, my wife, she hates it. But that's because she hates Jesse's laugh. Fuck. And also, the humor gets on her nerves. But me, I'm immature, and it's right up my alley. So, with that in mind, I'd like to make a recommendation. Okay. One of the ways that I think that you could cover new content in your show is crossover episodes. And I've heard some great ones from you guys. But the one episode or crossover that I'd really like to hear is you sitting down with Secret Life of Canada hosts Leah and Phelan. And the reason I think that is because you guys have covered some of the same material as those two podcast hosts. And I think it'd be great just to see you come together and hear you come together and figure out what kind of episode you'd do on the air, on the podcast. Anyways, you know what I mean. So think about it. Keep up the good work. Look forward to more terrible baby eating jokes, and take care.
There we go. That was pretty long.
What was his name again?
Justin.
Justin. That's what I thought. Thank you so much, Justin. Fuck you, Justin's wife. So that was nice of Justin to
2 points. Yes, we'd love to do a crossover episode. I don't know them, but we should try. And two, leave your wife.
Yeah, that's honestly what it is. I love how people like. Come on, man! Like don't I was angry. All excited. I'm not angry.
That was a nice one.
But it was like, did he have to tell me that his wife hates my laugh? Hates it. Really? Was that really necessary? No, I don't think it was.
She could hear it all the way in Whitehorse. To be fair.
That was for you, Justin's wife. That was just for you.
Please keep listening to the show, Justin, even though we said horrible things about your wife. I'm sure she's lovely.
I'm not done.
She's just got a very different taste in humor.
Just going to pepper it through this episode and maybe a few more episodes.
I'm sure she's lovely. She's just got a different sense of humor. And
let's reach out to them. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's cool. And thanks for the really nice message, Justin.
Thank you.
And your enthusiasm and mm-hmm. suggestions. And
fine, I guess. That's all right. Yeah. Let's fuck it. Let's reach out to them. What do you think?
I did used to listen to that show ages ago, and it was really good. And then I don't know. You know when you just keep finding new podcasts, and you've got half episodes listened to, it kind of fell into the half listened to pile of ones that I really enjoyed, but never got back to. So,
do you mean half of an episode? No, I finished my episode, Therese. Jesus, what kind of monster are you?
I'm currently halfway through reading 5 books and 15 podcasts. I'm halfway through listening to.
So. Oh, speaking of books,
the power of ADHD.
I have a new segment for our show. I want you to put some intro music to this, please. This is called
Jesse's Book Review,
where Jesse reads a book once a decade, thinks it's the only book ever written, and talks about it. Today,
what book did you read this decade?
I finished The Lost Apothecary, which was great. Awesome. It's two stories in one. It takes place in present day England, where a woman finds a tiny apothecary bottle, a vial, on the River Thames, and does some research as to where it came from. And then it cuts back to 1791, where this apothecary owner runs a poison shop secretly in the back of a building. And it's a really neat story, and you should read it too. Go and check out my other book review from the early 2000s. I look forward to hearing to talking to you again, dear listener, in another 10 years when I decide to read another book.
There we go. Done.
There you go. That was great.
There you go.
Good. Thanks for doing that for me.
Okay. Can we talk about this? This is a good episode. You're gonna like this.
Yeah. Fuck it. Okay.
I'm saying is.
I mean, like you said that you say that every episode, and every episode is not a stellar fucking episode. You know.
We can't all always have Wolf Gates and Fruit Machines, and you know we're always gonna have ones that are a bit more serious. They aren't just as surreal.
Is this another serious one? Is this another?
No, it's not. This one's inspirational. You know how you avoid the news because the news is full of bad news.
I mean, yeah, it's okay. To be fair, like I've grown up with anxiety, a lot of anxiety, and the news is just like, hey, here's a train wreck. Look at all those people that died. Nothing you can do about it. And that's pretty much the news, you know? Like, it's not like your friend calling you up like, hey, I need you to help move a body. I'm like, wow, that's really fucking heavy for 2 a.m. for me to process right now. But like, I can do something on that. I can either come and help you move a body or call the police and end a friendship. Right? Like with the news, it's just like, hey, here's something to make you feel bad. Have you enjoy your breakfast now. Bye. Like that's, so fuck the news. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of someone?
This is what happens when I have too much coffee. Sorry, go ahead.
Have you ever heard of a place called Medicine Hat?
I have. Medicine Hat, Alberta. Yeah.
Have you been there?
I might have driven through it.
Yeah. Famous for having lots of gas, like natural gas, and a population of roughly 65,000 people.
I'm trying to think. Does Medicine Hat have a lot of dinosaur, what are they called? The things, not bones, the fossils.
I don't know. Maybe they do. I've never been there. I like the name. It's a cool place name.
It is a cool place. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was in the news in the last year for a really good reason and an amazing reason, a really inspirational reason. Do you know why? Any guesses?
No. You know damn well I don't.
So this episode.
Does it have something to do with oil and gas?
No. This episode is called "The City That Ended Homelessness."
Okay. I'm intrigued.
So, last year, Medicine Hat announced it had become the first city in Canada to reach functional zero chronic homelessness.
Okay. This is last year they said that they would attempt this.
No, last year they achieved it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, how long did they have to do it before it's considered a success?
How long? Well, they could just
like gather up all the homeless people, put them in a hotel for a night, and say they did it. You know, so
it's kind of like that's the whole point, though. It changes. Some months they're not functionally homelessness isn't zero. Some months and other months it is. Sometimes it fluctuates, but they track it like every month, and they achieved it for that month and have been kind of like switching between. Maintaining that achievement, and kind of sometimes the homeless population grows and then it shrinks down again. So which blows my mind, because I think most people think that homelessness is kind of part of life and is tragic and sad, but there's always, as far as I can remember, it's always been a thing. I think
it's pretty bad in Halifax right now.
It is pretty bad in Halifax, but then you go to Toronto and Vancouver, and I would say it's way more extreme in Canada than I ever experienced in the UK. There's homelessness in the UK, but not to the level of Canada and
really
the US is. Yeah, yeah, it's way worse.
Wow. Well, I mean, we are experiencing a housing crisis, at least in Nova Scotia, and I guess from what I've kind of gleaned from news articles that I try not to read, the rest of Canada is kind of going in that direction too. So I don't know. We're not talking about housing crisis, but I suppose it's kind of connected.
So 235,000 people in Canada experience homelessness in any given year.
And
that's roughly 25,000 to 35,000 people on any given night are homeless.
That's insane.
There's a lot of people.
That's crazy amount of people.
It's like everyone on PEI. off when it's not tourist season, obviously.
It's just, that's how we know PEI, homeless island.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's where we put all of our homeless people is on PEI.
Because they haven't got the $50 to leave, so... Anyway,
they're all sleeping underneath the Confederation Bridge, from EI to the mainland. Yeah.
So functional zero is a milestone, but it has
I just
to
got
be...
this amazing image in my head of like thousands of boats and dinghies all tied together with like tarps over top to create like a false like a
water
world. Stretching roof like Waterworld, but like with tarps and rafts and dinghies and like little wooden walkways that span the entire length of the Confederation Bridge from New Brunswick to PEI, or is it Nova Scotia? I think it's New Brunswick. And like, it's all underneath the bridge to help with shelter and shade and stuff like that. And that's, that'd be a fucking cool movie or TV show. Maybe I should start writing that. They don't have to be homeless.
You can go. Just, yeah, not at all distracted. So anyway, functional zero basically means there's enough services, housing and shelter and beds for everybody who needs it.
Whether or not they're taking advantage of it.
Yeah. And in this approach, emergency shelters are meant
to
be
temporary. Functional zero, meaning hey, it's here. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't. That's sort
exactly,
of thing.
Like, exactly. Okay. So you can't like, there's a certain, and we'll get to that. There's a certain percentage of people who, for whatever reason, are homeless and refuse help. To a certain extent, and that's a very small minority.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of scaremongering around that and generalization across homelessness, and it looks very different in some cases. Like it could be a family sleeping in a car. It is not necessarily what you imagine with, you know, walking through like a downtown area, what you see, or, you know, people with serious addiction. So it all started in 1998 when the mayors of a lot of Canada's largest cities declared homelessness was a natural disaster in the country.
What year was this?
1998.
Okay. Well.
And the Albertan government decided to give $16 million to address the crisis. And in Medicine Hat, roughly 13% of people in Medicine Hat live in poverty, which is almost double the average in Canada of 6.4.
Wow.
And that's the that's the latest stats I could find. It fluctuates, obviously. So, obviously... homelessness was an issue. And then like a few years, nothing really happened. And then a few years later in 2009, Medicine Hat committed to ending homelessness and developing a 5-year plan. And I know we hear politicians say this stuff all the time. Hey, we've just did this thing and it's going to stop this. And, but this was an actual plan.
That they put forth and put money in and actually went forth with. All right. That's rare.
But the crazy thing is what they did was all the other cities to a certain extent, and you see Halifax doing this, they're managing homeless populations. So they're not trying to solve it. They're just managing them and moving them on.
You should have fucking seen what Halifax did to manage the homeless population last year. Jesus.
I know you were there.
I was there. Oh my God. So like I didn't get tear gassed. I nearly got to, so like I was, I'll just quick recap. This is about a year ago. There was someone tenting in a library and they brought forth like a huge swarm of cops to remove this man. And the massive retaliation from the public came to kind of protest it. And there was this growing building tension. And I was there because like half of fucking Halifax was there to check it out. And I was live streaming it on our podcast Instagram. And then they arrested him and took him to the back of the van, and then all these people started encroaching on the van, getting just kind of like surrounding the cops in the van and all that stuff. And I just, something in me said, I need to back away right now. And I just kind of walked down the street to a fair distance away where it was nice and safe. And it was just at that moment, someone screamed, tear gas. And the fucking chaos that ensued, Reese, was insane. There was like, it was just madness. So, but like, yeah, that's a, I think I went over that last year.
I think the video is still on the Instagram feed.
If you want to go check it out. Nice little stroll down memory lane.
Yeah. It's good.
And our like, city dealt with homelessness. Yeah.
How they managed it.
How they managed homelessness. Yeah.
So what they did was they decided that they needed to deal with the homeless population with a housing first philosophy. So housing would come before the priority of mental health or the treatment of addictions, because they believed that you can't solve those issues unless a person has permanent and stable housing.
I mean, is that based off of any evidence? That's an interesting theory.
Well, I probably, I mean, you should ask Medicine Hat. I think the idea is that, you know, if you don't get somebody off the streets, you can't expect their mental health to improve.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
And if you want to deal with addictions, then, you know, how do you expect them to kind of overcome that and transform their lives if you keep them trapped in a position of homelessness? So if you get them stable, permanent housing, so they're not provided with a free space or like government-owned housing. Instead, what happens is the city will work with the individual to secure affordable permanent housing for those people. Depending on their needs, it might be like a private apartment, a house, or like a long-term hotel room, or a lot rental for like an RV or like a trailer or something. And they work with them on a personalized basis for what would suit them best based on their needs, including like, do they have pets? Have they got kids? That kind of thing. And they have to pay 30% of their income in rent.
The homeless person or the government has to? Who's paying?
The homeless person who now is housed.
Okay. So
whatever you're earning,
I mean, Mike, what if they have no fucking money or income? Like they're, you know,
well, they will have like some kind of subsidies or they would have kind of government welfare to a certain extent. So 30% of that would go to cover it.
Okay, all right.
Or they would say to you, "Hey, we'll put you in a long-term hotel room. We can then work out, like, sort out kind of if you're entitled to any subsidies or help you get a job. And then once you get a job, we'll move
okay,
into this place."
Okay, right. So it's not just like, "Hey, you, come on, get off the parks. Let's go get you into an apartment. I'm homeless and I have no job or money or food. That's fine. Here's your new place. You owe $1,000 in rent now. That's only 60% of what it
no,
is."
No, but it's not. But it's not. It's 30% of your income. So if you earn $100 a week, you pay $33 in rent.
Oh, 30% of your income?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Wow. Okay, well, that's... Okay, so here's a tip to any homeless people who are in Medicine Hat who are listening to this podcast. Start a corporation. Have that corporation take all of your income and pay yourself like $100 a month. That's your income. So your rent is only 30 bucks a month. Fuck the government. Fuck them. Anyway, well, please continue. I mean, yeah,
that's it. take advantage of a system that's there to help the most needy. Well done.
Fucking right.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So because of this system, since 2009, 1,675 people who were homeless or at risk of being homeless have been housed, and that includes 424 children.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's a beat.
Shelter use has dropped 64%.
Okay. I mean, are shelters a bad... It's just the fact that people don't that need people shelters as like, much.
Yeah, the number of people right. needing shelter. So it means there's space. A lot of the time you hear about people queuing up outside shelters to get a space, and there's not always enough space. So that's a good sign. It means there's probably space in a lot of the shelters if you've reduced it by that much.
Right.
They still keep them open, but it just means that it's not as it's not like a fight to get a space. And do you think this method is more expensive or less expensive than the current standard of just managing the population? Managing.
I'm going to take an educated guess, knowing you, that this is less expensive.
Ah, I wanted you to say the other one and be wrong.
I think it's more expensive, Reese. Far more expensive.
So they worked out that to provide housing with this method costs between $12,000 and $34,000 a year per individual.
Okay.
Whereas the cost of providing resources to people on the street where you're dealing with the police, shelters, drugs, all the other things is 120,000 per person a year.
Wow. Seriously? So
it's like a fraction of the cost just to provide affordable housing and to manage it that way versus keeping people on the streets and dealing with the government dealing with all the complex issues that come with it.
Wow. Well, okay. To be fair to Halifax, like a year later, they did dedicate like a large parking lot to some shelters. They put up some pop-up shelters from basically trailers, like really nice looking, large, very large, kind of amalgamated trailers. And they kind of gave it its own power and they strung up some like camp lights along of it. And they're, from what I understand, I don't understand the ins and outs of that space, but it just shows to me like, oh, the city is trying something rather than we need this space for condos. What do you mean there's homeless people in tents there? Get the cops down there and get rid of the homeless people. Where do you want us to put the homeless people? We don't care. The condos need to go there. That was pretty much what we were doing. So the fact that we're trying literally anything at all other than get the cops, beat them up, and move them to a completely separate park for now is encouraging. But I'm always of the mindset that if you're going to try something, if you have a problem, and it's a problem that is pressing, look to others who have already fucking solved this problem and then implement what they've solved. Like, it doesn't have to be an original idea every fucking time. And this gets me like
the whole thing, it's so complicated. I go, yeah, it is, but
it was until someone solved it.
driving a car is complicated, but you still drive around in one while drinking a massive coffee.
I won't get into this because this is a very, very long sidebar, but like the whole gun debate in the States drives me crazy. Not because it's complicated, but because countless other countries have implemented solutions that have fucking worked. And the States are just like, well, we can't because it's complicated because of this and that and this and that. Like, how about we just do what other countries have done? Yeah, but what about this? They thought of that problem too, and they solved that problem. Look, just look to France, look to Japan, look to whoever. Like, they won't fucking do it. And it drives me like, stop trying to be original. Stop trying to come up with original ideas and original problems. Everyone else has already thought of these fucking problems and solved them. Just do what other people have already been doing.
Just literally look. You don't even have to look that far. It's in Canada, Medicine Hat. Just go there and speak to the people at Medicine Hat and go,
right?
How do you do this? And you save this much money every year? Okay. Even if you want to do it, even if you look at this purely from a calculating money point of view, where you want, we should be charging less tax. Otherwise, you know, we should bring the budgets down. If you're kind of like fiscally conservative, well, then you can't even argue with the money.
No, I think it's all ego. I think it has a lot to do with ego, the ego of politicians who want to come up with something creative and original that people can be like, oh, look, it was the mayor, Bobby. Bobby, the mayor, came up with the idea and it was a completely original idea. All his, all hail Mayor Bobby. Like, no, fuck that. Just do what other people have been doing that works. Like, why? Why not? Just fucking fuck your ego. Fuck it. I'm not upset.
It's also last year, November last year, the city was no longer at zero unhoused people. So basically there was a surge and they were roughly within that month, 40 people sleeping rough in the city. But they at the state of being able to track those people and they check in on them all the time.
But it's a system that is like, it's an organic system that's going to ebb and flow, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. There's no, you could never solve. So apparently like of those 40 people, there are 17 who just flatly refuse any help at all and just want to kind of be left alone essentially and live on the street, which you're going to get a percentage of people who whatever life experience they've had has led them to be there, whether it's addiction or trauma or whatever it might be, that's going to happen. But fundamentally, people who are just desperate to have somewhere to live are solved really. But even then, this system means now that they know who those people are and there's spaces available for them. They just check in on them every once in a while and go, hey, just so you know, this bed over there, or if you need this or you need that, or medical attention, we're here for you. So it means that the people working are freed to make sure that as it does ebb and flow with homeless people coming through and things developing, that they're actually around and present and able to focus on just reaching out to those people and saying, there's always a bed for you if you need one.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
which is a very different approach from how it's not kind of reactive to the problem. It's kind of, it's being really proactive in terms of solving it.
You know, I got to say, this was not a mind-blowing episode filled with historical alcoholics, but it was a very touching one, honestly. And it was, you know what I liked about this? It wasn't depressing for depressing sake. It actually had like, oh shit, our government did something positive that worked. Like, what the fuck? When do you ever hear that happening? You know?
It's a good news story.
It's a good news story. I like good news stories. I do.
Yeah. There we go. So I was excited about this one. I know it's a different kind of episode, but when you see a good news, it's so easy to talk about how bad people are and the crazy stuff people did. But when you see a good news story, it's worth talking about a good news story.
I want to talk about what we were talking about just a little bit a while ago about your ego and wanting to be creative and just saying fuck it to your ego and going and doing what's already worked. I want to encourage our listeners to really think about that in your own life. We live in a day and age where instantaneous access to the world's information is on these tiny little rectangular devices in our pockets at any given fucking time, and we use it to look up funny videos of cats. Okay, so like, if you want to run a business, if you want to be a famous Instagrammer, if you want to be a famous YouTuber, if you want to be a blogger, if you want to open up a fucking laundromat, whatever it is, don't be fucking creative about it. Don't try to think of original. Don't be on the fucking Dragon's Den. Think of the latest, you know, like, fuck your ego. Fuck it. Go and find someone who's already done it and is teaching a course on how to do it. Pay them how to do it and then do what they tell you. It's just stop being original. Fuck it.
I wouldn't pay for a course.
That's because you try to be original.
No, I just find it for free somewhere else.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, podcasts are a great source of free knowledge and free education, free courses.
Exactly.
Like ours. Yeah, you can learn all kinds of good shit.
Oh, like I just came up with a great idea, and it's not my idea. I stole it.
For the love of God, please.
Imagine 10,000 songs, 10,000 songs in your pocket. Imagine that. I call it the iPod.
The iPod. All right.
Yeah, and yep. It's 10,000 songs in your pocket.
Or the iPod.
You can't listen to them. It's just where you store them.
It's 10,000 songs all playing at once, all the same time on the iPod.
Only in your pocket. You can't
only in your pocket. You can't. As soon as you take it out of your pocket, it stops. Yeah. It's just this cacophony of nonstop noise in your pocket. You're
steal
welcome.
Good ideas. That's what I do. But also, I'd like people to listen to this to the next time they're going through the downtown area or they're seeing homelessness in their town or wherever they live, to actually go, rather than look at it and go, that's sad, but I guess that's life, go, that's sad. And there's actually a really good proven way of dealing with this, and it's in my country.
Right. So, like, I guess
this is just this is just a policy choice.
So, what would you do? Like, write your MLA, and suggest, like, hey, look to Medicine Hat, you fucking bozo, yeah, you fucking bozo. That's a term kids are using these days, right?
Hey, fucking Malin, bozo. Check this out.
Hey, Alan,
Malin.
That's a good idea. That was a nice episode. It was a feel good good news episode. So
yeah, there is hope. There is hope, and it's good. My most favorite part of that is the fact that they were able to provide housing for like over 400 children.
That's amazing.
I can't think of anything much more important than that.
That's a nice episode, Reese. Thanks for that.
Yeah, so I know normally, like you said, I'll have to find some crazy drunk people for the next one, though, just
yes,
to balance
please.
It out.
What is the next episode, by the way?
I don't know yet. I'm literally gonna go and find the craziest, drunkenest part of history I can find.
All right. So if you're new to our podcast, hit that subscribe button so that you'd be sure to be notified when Reese comes back with the craziest, drunkest, insanest episode yet, according to him, his words, not mine.
I've set a trap for myself that I might get caught in next week's
Excellent.
Time.
So because we are just to continue on from last episode, we are on track to Halloween. It is September, I know, yes, but we are on track to Halloween, and we are going to be doing a ghost story at the end of every episode until Halloween. And
I like how you say we.
Okay, Reese is going to be telling a ghost story. I suppose I could interject and tell a ghost story now and then. Why not?
Okay, I'll do it. I'll give you three things to base it on, and you've got to improvise it.
Oh, no, I was going to tell a real ghost story.
A real one? There's no such thing as a real ghost story, but okay.
No, but like, so it's either going to be a ghost story from Reese and I, or if you would like to tell a ghost story, dear listener, please write to us at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com, or you can leave a SpeakPipe message, although I don't know how long SpeakPipe, only 90 seconds. Something like that.
Yeah,
If it's a quick ghost story. If you want to write it out, though, send us an email and we will read it with music and sound effects on the show.
It's more of a ghost sentence.
Hold on a second.
I've got a really good ghost story I can tell you.
Okay. Okay, cool.
So,
music and sound effects, please.
And this is actually a real one I was told and is from Wales.
This is a real one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I actually really like real ghost stories.
So I used to make a TV and radio show called The Unexplainers, which was a mystery comedy improvised road trip show that looked into the paranormal and mysteries that couldn't be solved. And
very funny.
We went looking for it was also a stage show once as well. Anyway, we were deep in the mountains of Snowdonia, and if you go to Wales, the
what's
northern
Snowdonia?
Half, Snowdonia is a region of Wales that is very mountainous, lots of like narrow mountain passes, and so some people say that is a more deadly mountain than Everest because the weather changes so fast. So people will think, oh, it's only just a small mountain in Wales, and they'll go up there without proper kit, and then suddenly the weather will change within like 5 minutes, and you won't be able to find your way down, and you'll freeze to death up there. So it's quite like a treacherous, dangerous place, but it's like stunningly beautiful. So we were up there recording, and we were looking for stories of giants because there's a lot of giant mythology. And there was this local man who'd researched a lot of stories, and he was telling the story of the Grey Man, and they in this particular village up in the mountains.
The Grey Man with
the Grey Man,
yeah, with
Liam Neeson.
No, Ryan.
Oh no, that's just Netflix. That's just a ripoff. No, so Ryan, what's his name? Ryan Gosling, and
that's it. Thank you, Ryan
and
Gosling,
Chris Evans. Yeah, yeah. I only watched the first half of that. I didn't get around to watching the rest. Yeah. It's okay. So the up in those mountains, there was a legend of the Grey Man, who was a giant. And when it was really foggy and misty, you wouldn't hear or see him coming until it was too late if you went up too far into the mountains when it was misty. And this was a story that they told lots of kids at the time as like a kind of a cautionary tale to stop them from wandering off, which is, you know, a lot of stories at the time in mythology, local mythology, there's a point to it, to stay away from that river or don't kind of climb up that cliff,
right?
And the story was that the Grey Man was a giant who lived high in the mountain. He thought he was the king of the mountain, and he had this big gold chain, and he was this kind of hideous giant who would capture and then eat children, much like Justin Trudeau. But the crazy part about this story was there was an archaeological dig a few years ago, and they found a huge grave, and they think they measured the body, and at the time the skeleton of the body that was there, the remains, would have been about 6'5", and you think the age of it was probably about 1,000 years old, this grave. So back in time, if you think, people were a lot shorter then, so this would have been considered a giant.
People were short back in time?
Because they didn't have such a good diet.
Oh, okay.
People on average were a lot shorter, especially in Wales. People in Wales are generally shorter anyway because of a bad diet. You just can't live off lamb. And the crazy thing was that the skeleton also had a giant chain around his neck.
Why?
And the moral of the story is like you hear these crazy myths and legends about these things, but this one was, there was some evidence that it was grounded in truth. And
what's the chain part of the story, though?
Well, the the Grey Man who used to come over the mountains had a giant chain around his neck. I did say earlier.
I just glossed over that bit.
And the giant skeleton they found also had a chain.
So it might have been based on some form of reality.
Exactly.
Some mountain man who just wanted to be left alone.
Some mountainous child abductor was real.
Well, that's crazy. Wow. Okay. That's the ghost story.
That's a ghost story.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a ghost story, but it was like
because there's an element of actual provable science.
Well, and there's no ghosts.
That's scary. that's scarier to me. The gray man.
Oh, like he kept like his ghost kept.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's called the gray king as well. Because another.
Oh, I like that better. That's nice. That's kind of cool. Sure, oh, that was cool. That was creepy. I like that. All right, I'm going to change the dear listener. Send us a real ghost story to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com for us to read and add music and sound effects to, like Reese does, because he loves work. Right. He loves all this extra work. He loves it.
I'm going to piss off now. I'm going to play this again. Just to...
Hello, Reese and Jesse. My name's Justin.
No, stop. No, stop.
And I've been listening to you guys for a couple years.
Stop it. Kill it.
I've got to say, I love listening to your show. Now, my wife,
Sorry, I wanted to hear that again.
I hate you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf from the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.